Tiếng Ấn nào là
Yay. Got it.
I don't like it when you're not on, because then I have to sign on as you, and then I look like you, but I don't look like you. Just my name looks like you, and it's not, and I'm not you. And I just don't like it.
Yeah, everything going on with my uncle. He wanted to come up here.
And then I always look like an idiot because I'm always sitting there going, "But I put the title on, and how do I stop this?" Like when we finish, then we like say goodbye, and then we look, both of us, like with just like deer in the headlights. Okay, how do I stop the live? Somebody help me.
Yeah. Like, all right, now what do
Exactly.
I
Oh, and then I started having. Then I started having Wi-Fi issues, and I got cut out a couple of times. And then it made Jason the host, and he's like,
Oh,
"I'm the host now. What do I do?"
yeah.
Oh,
It's
hi
okay. It's okay.
everybody. We're not ignoring you. We're letting everybody gather in, and we're just talking about how I'm so happy Miss Mountain Gypsy is back to man the live streaming, because I don't do a good job at it.
I'm here to man the station.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So we'll just give it another minute or two while people pile in, and then I'll start with our little housekeeping ditties and blah blah blah. And so on and so forth.
I just realized I put my cat ears back on.
It's in your ears. Okay.
It's in my ear.
Can you hear better now? Okay.
Yes.
I can.
Oh.
So I will open us up with just some housekeeping stuff. So welcome back to the Bitchy Witchies channel. If you are new to the Bitchy Witchies or to our channel, we are actually comprised of four magical practitioners. We do have one person who is on a mini sabbatical, but she will be returning sometime in the earlier part of August. So you will see her soon, and that's Hestia Rose. And then we have Miss Mountain Gypsy. We have Jason Altier Duquesne, and we have myself, Bella Luna. We are a group of practitioners from various backgrounds. We practice predominantly the old world traditional witchcraft and various folk magic practices. We have folk magic representation from the heathen belief systems, mostly West Germanic and the Northern Europe, and then we have the old world traditional folk magic practices represented from the Western European, and then also from the South East Asian, predominantly Filipino and Chinese.
And
So
Mexican
that's gonna
big and
yeah.
Hispanic.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry.
Yes.
And the Americas, the folk magic from the Americas, both northern and southern. Yes.
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 It's very eclectic here.
Very,
I hate
very
that word.
eclectic.
Stop
Oh,
using
yeah.
that word. It's not eclectic. It's multiculturally
There you go.
Yeah, there.
representative of.
We represent pretty much the whole world.
Yes.
I mean, no, but okay.
Close, close enough. Half,
I
about
mean,
half here.
there are the we have a couple of continents that are not represented, so
Yes.
I'm sure they will be soon.
Like Antarctica, pretty sure we won't have somebody from there anytime soon. Just
Not
saying.
unless we get a penguin.
So, with that, what are we talking about today?
Superstitions.
Superstition.
You can't say that without singing.
No, yeah, I can't.
I'm right? I was just about to do that.
I'm going to start singing Stevie Wonder here.
Yeah.
She fit the superstition. Black cats and voodoo dolls.
See, we've got different songs that include superstition.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about superstition. We're talking about nothing in particular about superstition and all kinds of particular stuff about superstition. So who wants to start? Here we go again. All of you two speaking up all at once. So right. Calm down.
So we definitely have a lot of superstitions and stuff, and I think a lot of them are represented in the witchcraft community. I mean, I grew up very superstitious because I grew up with Irish Catholic great grandmothers, so I'm very superstitious, but I don't know about you guys.
Well, I think it's really interesting because, I think superstition has just been a part of the just all cultures for hundreds, thousands of years, and some of it we can link to truths, to facts. Some of it we can link to rumors. Some of it we can link to magical practice.
Uh-huh.
So I think, but you're absolutely right in that one of the reasons why we are just in general attracted to superstition is because there are a lot of it that actually is magic based, and people don't even realize it's magic based. Exactly. So like I have an example. There's some cultures and some countries that are more superstitious than others. So you take a lot of, I hate to overgeneralize, but generally your first world countries, that have prided themselves of being very westernized and industrialized. Most people, not all, will generally consider superstition, kind of stupid or silly, and even describing something as superstitious is like considered an insult. That's superstitious. Come on, don't be ridiculous. That would never happen. But there's a lot of countries where still today where superstition is still so well ingrained in culture. So the Philippines, obviously that's half of my genetics and 100% of my upbringing. And I can tell you that, I know that there's a lot of parts in the Philippines that probably wouldn't be considered first world, but there are an equal amount of parts that are, for sure. But that is a country that superstition is alive and well.
Oh yeah, same with like Vietnam too. Like my partner's from Vietnam, and we plan to travel there. I think next summer, if we're still together. But
but so one of the more recent presidents after Marcos in the Philippines, it's well known that that he maintains a broken mirror in his home, because in the Philippines, it's said that broken mirrors help to protect you against malefic spirits. Is he a practitioner? Of course not. He's a politician. But it's so well ingrained there that they don't sit there and pick apart and say that I'm practicing magic or this is silly. I mean, it's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
They will log on to the internet while maintaining the broken mirror in the back.
And see, my upbringing was broken mirrors were absolutely bad luck. It was 7 years bad luck. You don't go to bed without covering or turning your mirror around. That way nothing could come get you at night and stuff like that. That's how my great grandma was. Like, she would not, she had the little veils for the mirrors at night.
Right. Right.
So, and that's where you can see the difference, but it's still a mirror.
Right.
Yeah. What kind of superstitions did you grow up with, Jason?
We grew up with never have a mirror facing each other. Going back to the whole mirror thing, like never have two mirrors facing each other. And that's something that I live up with today. We always had salt on the porch. We always had keep rosemary by the garden gate. And again, like that was all to prevent evil or malicious entities from coming in, or just dark ill intent from coming in. What other ones did we have? Before entering a new house, like when moving into a new house, it has to be cleansed and concentrated.
Yeah, well,
huh? And that's something I found within Anthony's culture too. So like while I was doing my thing, Anthony's mom was doing her thing and like pouring like a circle of rice all around the house.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say. That's a very common Southeast Asian, because I was going to say that's the same thing with Filipinos. When you have a new house, you bring in rice.
Yeah.
Because that is supposed to, you know, bring good luck. And I think that there's a lot of cultures actually that have varying practices, the superstitious practices on when you move into a new place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, my great grandma would always bring someone a fresh baked loaf of bread to keep the abundance coming in and stuff like that. And then, mm-hmm. you know, she would bring, it would be milk, bread, and honey, you know, to make sure that they always had food and stuff like that. And then, like, her biggest thing was spilling salt. You had to always throw salt over your left shoulder or you're going to lose everything. Like, she would freak out.
Yeah, that's how my mom's mom was, too. My grandma, my mom's side, you spilled salt. You had to throw it over your damn shoulder.
Yes. And then you got to go sweep it up and throw it outside away from your house.
Yeah.
See, here's the interesting thing is that, you know, even just, and we don't even constitute a statistically accurate sample size. There's just three of us. But, you know, just even with us alone, you know, we know and understand a lot of the meanings behind the superstitions that we grew up with. But there's a lot of people that actually they just go about their regular day without truly understanding. It's just, it is so ingrained, you know, that they're not even realizing like why or the meaning. They just know that it's a superstition that for whatever reason, whether or not they understand the whys, you know, they still hold on to it and believe it because, you know, that's what they were raised with.
Yeah. So it's like my house, if the broom falls off the corner, I freak out because that means someone's coming or something's going to happen.
I have that one too.
My brooms hang, where they can't fall. And if they do fall off that hook, I'm like, oh, I hate that.
Right. Like I have that one too for broom falls, companies coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spoon too. The spoon falls on the counter. If a spoon falls, a baby calls.
Yes. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. It's like a spoon falls. Who's pregnant?
Dude, for real. For real. That's a big one in my family, too. Like, anytime a spoon fell, my grandma would be all looking at my mom. Are you pregnant again? I'm like, oh my gosh, but yeah.
So there, and obviously there's different superstitions that exist in different parts of the world, you know. Yeah. Some of the things that say exist here in the US, probably yes. we would look super crazy to to
like
another country or something, and vice versa.
Yeah, some of those classic ones, like don't let a black cat cross your path. I don't know where that came from, but that's what I obviously don't put stock in, because I love black cats.
Let's
walk under
that.
A ladder.
Yeah, so let's talk about those two. Okay, so the black cat, that's interesting. That is a really interesting one, because that one is, I don't want to say universal, go as far as say universal, but like a lot of people know about that, you know, depending on regardless of where you live. And I don't think, for at least from what I've read, what I've researched, there's I have not seen that somebody can actually pinpoint the true origin. But one of the origins is related to witchcraft, not for a good thing, but the fear of witchcraft.
Because
there are a lot of cultures that believed that witches could transform into animals, witches being a common one, a black cat. And so the belief is that superstition came from thinking that if you saw a black cat, that it's a witch and you need to stay out of its way.
Yes, exactly. Fuck, yeah. I wish I could turn into a fucking black cat. I'd love to be a cat.
Now, the ladder thing is interesting. The ladder thing, same thing, you know, they don't know for sure, at least again from what I've read, but there's at least two popular theories. That one, it's related to Catholicism, believe it or not, because the ladder forms in essence a triangle, and so it represents the Holy Trinity, and that supposedly if you walk under a ladder, you are breaking the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
So that's one. That's one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then the other one is that ladders are too reminiscent of the old-fashioned gallows where people used to get hung on, and so people were just more fearful of that. But again, it's like a lot of these superstitions, we don't even really know anymore the true origins, because they've been around for that long.
Yeah. Right, I always assumed that the whole ladder thing was like because of construction.
No, I remember.
Like, if you walk under a ladder during construction, then you might get a brick dropped on your head or something.
I remember talking about that in Sunday school.
But here's the thing, though, is that you're not wrong, because when you talk about the mundane aspect of it, you're not supposed to walk under a ladder because that's considered dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. So what could have happened is that perhaps, like what many parents do, is, you know, they tell stories to their kids to make them scared so that they don't do something that maybe could possibly hurt them. So it could be that some of those stories came about from just them trying to protect their kids.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I love it.
Like around here, no, but I've noticed, at least my neighborhood, because my neighbors are weird like I am, we're superstitious, but there's a superstition here at night. You don't leave the realm of where there's light on your patio, because if you go past that in the dark, things are going to come out, and you can see yourself and mimic, like one of the creatures of the night can mimic you.
Some of the superstitions of the Appalachians are the same within the Rocky Mountains. Like, yes. If you hear whistling, no, you don't. If you hear your name being called, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Mm-mm. That's why, like, on my patio, especially in the summer, I have a shit ton of different lights, because I like to be outside at night in the summertime, especially when it's been hot all day and it's cooled down. But I will not venture out past the ramp we have out here, because it's so dark, and then I put floodlights everywhere so I could venture out a little. Because I'm like, because when I first moved here, I heard a lot of baby cries, and I learned that they're the panthers out here, because they mimic baby cries so they can catch their prey. But then again, there's some sounds that don't sound like panthers, and I'm like, nope, I learned, you don't go looking for it.
Right. That's the same here in the Rocky Mountains, too.
You know what? I mean, we've been talking about negative superstitions that are negative and scary, but there's an equal amount of very positive ones, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Of like, if you, like, for instance, in the Philippines, for example, you know, there's certain sounds, you know, again, going back to hearing sounds that, you know, may indicate that there's, you know, a good elemental spirit looking out for you, you know, or even, you know, the one about if you hear a bells or something that, you know, an angel's gotten its wings or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So there's superstitions out there that are both positive and negative.
Exactly. If you sneeze, someone's thinking about you.
Yeah.
They need to stop.
One of my favorites that I learned, unfortunately, when I was much younger, is that if your cigarette only burns halfway, that means somebody's thinking about you. You ever hear that one?
I used to hear that. Or you're the lucky cigarette. Your lucky cigarette that you have to flip. That's the last one you smoke. You're going to get lucky.
And to this day, every time my cigarette only starts burning on one side, I'm like, I wonder who's thinking about me.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Like, that's one of the ones. I don't know why. Like, even though I didn't smoke as a kid, I learned that one from my grandpa. The whole you count 7 cigarettes and you flip the one, and that's your last cigarette you smoke. And that when you smoke that one, you're gonna get lucky somehow. But
before you talk about the one that you just remembered, Jason, I do want to bring up the mirror breaking thing, the mirror cracking, because if you notice, I told you about a superstition in the Philippines that a cracked mirror keeps the spirits away. Yet at the same time, in other cultures, a cracked mirror means bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's the same situation, but different interpretations, just depending on where you're from.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like Friday the 13th. Like that's usually seen in like Western culture, because like Friday was typically a day where they would execute people, and then 13 was of course the number of the devil. So that's why. But like if you go into like Asian culture, like Friday and 13 are actually very lucky.
Yes. Yep.
And so I actually have done a couple of videos on Friday the 13th.
You have.
And it is very interesting, because there's a lot of suspicion as to the different varying origins of where that comes from. But you're absolutely right. It's a Western belief, and two, it's actually relatively modern day. And I use that kind of very broad, because when I say relative, it's still not like yesterday or 10 years ago. I think it started really, if I remember correctly from my research for the video, it didn't really start becoming a thing until like the 17th century. And that's still relatively recent compared to speaking.
Oh, yeah.
But the interesting thing to your point, Jason, is that it really truly is isolated to Western thought. Because if you go to other countries, they too have their designated bad luck days, but it's not Friday the 13th. One of them, I think it's Tuesday the 17th.
Yeah.
I forget what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I find really interesting is, again, so you when it comes to superstitions, you do tend to see themes across cultures, across countries, with their own different interpretations, which I actually find it incredibly interesting.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I'm sorry. I go on. What were you going to say about the one that you thought of? Or do you still remember it? Like that?
I don't remember it.
It's
okay. It's okay. It'll come back.
It will.
You probably go back to your dad and like, yeah, Bella's just like you. She talks over me all the time.
No.
Yeah, I see. Like,
what was the
very superstitious?
Like, what's the horse?
Very superstitious. And you would think he was.
Like the horseshoe? Were you about to say
this? Oh, yeah, your horseshoe.
Was it the horseshoe?
I think he said something about my horseshoe.
Like hanging the horseshoe above the door, but it had to be iron. Or just like a piece of iron in general.
Yeah, I have an iron horseshoe with an iron nail.
Now that is specifically directed to, at least for me, I don't want to say witchcraft, but to spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm. Some of my bells too.
Because I actually talked about that on my video on wards, because again, going back to the iron, again, another thing that is somewhat universal across countries and cultures is iron being something that can be used for defensive natures against bad energies, malefic spirits. It's not unheard of or uncommon for people to still hang the horseshoes for a means of protection, and a lot of people don't realize that why they're doing it. Is the history behind it, is that it has to be iron, it's made of iron, and that you traditionally want the open-ended pointing down.
Yes. So that
it grounds the negative energies in the ground.
And see, I grew up with the Irish thing. It has to point up, because if it's pointing down, then your luck and everything is running away. So mine pointed up.
Mine's pointed down.
And see, that goes back to same theme, different interpretations.
Because my great grandma, like, any time her like horseshoe would fall, she would replace it. She would not keep that horseshoe in the house, because mine is everything also, was running away.
Mine is also rusty. Like, that was a superstition. It has to be rusty iron, because energies are comprised of ancient element. Iron is an ancient element. Rust corrupts it. You put the two together, negativity doesn't like it.
Yep. Yeah, so it's just funny, Kat, because like growing up with my grandma Helen, is every like horseshoe had to be up, because it's holding your luck and your prosperity in.
That's cool.
I did the video on how to make a horseshoe thing, and I think I explained that in there.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
So
that's actually a segue into one of the things that I want to discuss about superstition, is that, you know, for one thing, I'll start with this. For one thing, if superstition is something that's prominent in your family, or something that you're aware of, that you really hold near and dear to your heart, and you still follow, and you don't understand it, look into that further, because that can truly be incorporated into your practice. And to truly understand what it is and how it relates to your culture, because again, going back to the horseshoe thing, you know, I said one thing, Mountain Gypsy said the other. Does that mean one's wrong and one's right? No. It has to do with the core thing of what we talk about with magical practice, is what is your belief? What is your belief system? And what are you purposely doing by facing it up or facing it down?
Right.
Where that magic comes from.
Like the hanging bundles of rosemary, especially keeping rosemary by the garden gate. Or just around your garden, it keeps
the front door.
yes, the front doors, because it keeps it pure. Yep. Keeps it pure and free of any like sort of negative influence, and it keeps the magic pure.
Yeah.
Or like you said, the broomstick by the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have an example of for instance, somebody who doesn't truly understand the whys that they do it, but they still do it. Guess who has a broom at the front door? Guess who keeps a broom at the front door?
Kevin.
Not Kevin me and my kid.
Your kid? Oh.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Come on, I keep mine at my front door too. And yeah, down by the driveway.
The point being is that, you know, like, we tend to carry on traditions that we don't necessarily even understand or know why we do it. We just do it.
That's awesome.
And so it would be really cool, especially if you are a practitioner, which I am going to assume that if you are watching or listening to us, that you are, that, you know, not to take those superstitions for granted and really look into them further. Really understand why you're doing something. Because to me, we always say knowledge is power, right? And so whatever you are doing, you had that superficial reason, but once you start understanding what you're doing it and really focusing enunciating or really expanding on the purposes, you know, then you're actually making that stronger.
Right.
It's like the way I sweep my energy to that. It's like, it's the way my grandma, I was taught how to to sweep in a certain direction, but I never knew why I got older.
From west to east.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandma was all about, you have to start over here and over here and then this way and then out the door. And I'm like, okay. So it's just always been ingrained, but I didn't understand it until I moved out by myself.
Yeah. Sweep from west to east, the same path as like the sun travels or the same path as the moon travels. Depending on what energy you're trying to bring in.
Exactly. And I just never understood that. I just thought, all right, just the way I got to do it.
And for me, it's not about direction or northeast, southwest. It's about towards the exit. It's just wherever your exit is, sweep towards the exit because you want everything to go out. So
funny because I never understood that because my grandma and my great grandma were very specific about it. I would get in trouble if I didn't start the way I was supposed to start. Gotta do it again. We're doing this again. I'm just gonna flow with it. But I didn't know until I got older what it was about.
But the other thing too is that, you know, if you want to do something more malefic or baneful, and your target happens to be somebody that you know a little something about, you know, look into their superstitions, look in what they believe in, and elaborate on that. Focus your malefic working around their superstition.
Yes.
And exploit it.
Yeah,
because belief is a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they already have that belief and you exploit that belief for negative purposes, you know, that can be rather effective.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So back home, we have a superstition when you're pregnant. If you don't put a safety pin on your underwear through your whole pregnancy, the baby's going to be born with a cleft palate. I was terrified to take that pin off until the day both my kids came. Terrified. So, I always had a safety pin on me.
Aww. Not to sound stupid, but it was a cleft palate.
Where their lip and the top of their mouth aren't closed.
Yeah, you have babies that can be born that way. Now, for those of you who do believe in that superstition and you live in a first world country, if you forget your pin and it happens, please know that fixing that is super easy and doctors do it with their eyes closed every day. So
but yeah, it's actually a Hispanic tradition, and because where I grew up and because of my family, you know, we're multi-cultured Irish Hispanics and stuff. I was like, as soon as I found out that pin went on my underwear.
But depending on how bad it could be, anything from just a you know, a negative feature, I guess you could say, too. It can actually impact your ability to eat and drink and things like that, yeah, depending on how bad it you're born with it. Yeah.
Or you're not supposed to let anybody touch your baby for the first 2 or 3 months because you don't want them to put the ojo on your baby, especially if they're pretty babies. So, like, my babies were always covered, and you couldn't, like, when we went out, I put blankets over them because I didn't know. Only person that's allowed to touch the baby for the first couple months is an old lady. Other than that, nobody else is supposed to touch the baby. So I didn't let nobody touch the baby that was not family.
So what was the definition of old?
Like a grandma, like your grandmother or your grandmother's older friend. You know, someone who was in that mature, older position.
Okay, but, like, what if I came around?
You're not considered a viejita.
But technically, I'm old enough to be a grandmother.
In my eyes, you're not a viejita. But because you would be auntie, you would have been allowed to touch the baby.
Oh, okay, okay.
Couldn't be a random person in public.
That's my loophole.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can't touch the baby. Like, it can't be a stranger. Like, when you're at the store and people see babies, oh my God, let me touch your baby.
Oh, no, I would not let a stranger touch my baby.
Right? No, dude.
Not because of a superstition, but because it's like I don't want their grubby hands on my baby.
Dude, especially after Sophie came out of the hospital, out of the NICU. They had just come out with the things that you put over the carrier and you could zip up where you can't see the baby. That girl was covered all the time because everybody wanted to touch her because she was so little.
That's interesting that you had something like that, you know, that you had a manufacturer that was cognizant enough, at least, because, I mean, are there really practical reasons to zip it up like that?
Especially,
you know, maybe, but tell me that there's not some superstitious belief that they're like, we're gonna have some mothers that, you know, are going to want to cover their babies, so
right,
why don't we make this feature and we'll cater to them?
Yeah, because
we'll market to them.
As soon as I saw that before she came out of the NICU, I had like 3 different ones and was like, all right, cool. She's not going to be
worried about somebody touching your baby, worried about somebody putting some mojo on your baby. Well, look what we have here for you. For just $19.99, you can buy this and zip him up or her. She will be protected.
Absolutely, yes. Man. I was that mom, especially with Sophie, because like it wasn't a big deal when I had Marcus because I lived up here when I was with Marcus. But back home in Texas when I had Sophie and she was so skinny and like a baby doll when she came out of the NICU, everybody was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, no, she took my baby. She's already had a hard enough life.
Wow.
I was like, everybody hated me when she came home because I was so superstitious with her. So.
Aw.
Mommy superstitions. There you go.
Yes.
I know that there's some superstitions about snake skin. I just can't remember what they are. Do any of you remember?
Out here, you're not supposed to touch it because it's the devil's skin. I know that. I've been told that by all my neighbors and my family. Don't touch the snake skin. It's the devil.
Where I come from, eating eating barbecue rattlesnake will put hair on your chest.
I've heard that, especially in Texas at the rattlesnake restaurants.
Yeah.
If you don't have hair on your chest, you'll have it right after.
Yeah.
One of the ladies that work where I work, she lives in an area where I guess they get a lot of snakes all the time, and it freaks her out. Not only is she like freaked out because she's like, ew, but you know, she tried to tell me about some superstition I couldn't remember, but anyways, but I did convince her to send me all that snake skin. So I have this package of snake skin. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, that's all. Love it.
I just don't like snakes. Snakes are not my thing at all, but my, you know, the Irish thing, don't trust snakes because, you know, they ran us off and stuff.
I have a couple of like full snakes in the freezer that I use for craft stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you get them?
The Vietnamese market.
Oh wow.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, you have to ask the butcher, but yeah, like he can like he'll bring out a couple snakes.
Very nice.
Although one of them is a big black garter snake that I caught here in the, or I didn't catch it, was already dead. So like I just packaged it up and put it in the freezer.
Nope, sorry. Any snakes in my yard gets shooed away to me. Well, one of my grandpa always said if a snake crawls up towards your house, it's someone trying to deceive you.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
But he was German. Now,
that's interesting. So it's a couple things about that. One is, you know, some of those superstitions you have to imagine are Abrahamic in origin.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, the serpent, like, and
yeah, like Saint Peter who like chased the snakes out of Ireland.
Yeah. So I could see that with my great grandmother. And then I don't know where the whole snake thing from my grandfather who was half German, like I don't know where he got that, but he would always freak out when there was a snake in the yard coming up towards the house.
Because I was always taught to love snakes. Because snakes are like the trains of magic. Like they used to call it like witches, children of the serpent seed.
I have an ancestral trauma.
And there's a reason. And there's a reason why. It's because snakes are considered a chthonic animal, and so I truly believe. Actually, it's not just me. You know, you can read it in some of the literature that one of the reasons why, you know, the serpent was used to, you know, portray the representation of evil in Abrahamic texts is because of the chthonic nature of snakes and the belief that snakes are an underworld creature along with some other types of chthonic animals. But again, those stemmed way before Abrahamic religions, right? So the snake, I think, has always been, regardless of whether we're talking about like Christianity or Catholicism or way before then, they've always been associated with, you know, the underworld, the darkness, the dark side of things.
I'm sorry, I have an ancestral trauma with snakes and it's just been passed down.
Whatever.
Don't like them. I am speciesist there. Sorry.
Uh-oh, silence.
I know. What are some other good superstition?
We're running out of superstitions to talk about. Anybody in the comment section have a superstition that they want to share?
Oh, Nin has the one that I'm very gung-ho on. The do not open an umbrella in my freaking house.
Oh yes, that one.
That one is a big one for me. And Nin brought that one up. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I wonder where that one comes from.
I don't know where it came from. I just have always never liked that, especially since it's been ingrained in me. I'm like,
I'm aware of that superstition because that's a very popular one. It wasn't something that I grew up with, but it's something that I learned about very early on. But I think because I wasn't necessarily raised with it, it's like I do weird stuff with the umbrellas. So I actually purposefully open it inside the house and I look around. Anything? No. And so I constantly test out that superstition. Nothing's happened yet. Just saying.
I don't know where that came from either, but like I've always been. Oh, another one too that I really don't like is if you're walking with somebody, do not split at a pole.
That is one of his big superstitions too. He hates that. I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
I know, I hate that too, and I don't know where it came from, but like I don't like it. Like I don't like splitting at poles.
Me neither, and neither does he. And then let's see. Oh, Fearless has a good one about the red door. Let's see.
Oh. What about the red door? What's that?
Red doors bring good luck, so a lot of people paint their doors red.
You know, that's very, very interesting, because when you look at horror movies, usually red doors represent something bad.
Yes, like the beast behind the red door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know out here, a red door signifies good luck and you're good neighbors, like friendly neighbors. But the people I've met with red doors around here are not friendly people. And I don't know why.
Wow.
But yeah, I knew that one. Fearless brought that one up. But that's why I want to paint my door purple.
Well, purple is supposed to signify that a witch lives there.
Well, that, yeah. And you know, it's just my favorite color. So, and it would look pretty when I redo the outside of the house.
Now, see, I'm paranoid. So, although I think it would be beautiful, it's like I know that people who are against witchcraft, you know, some of them actually do their research. And so if they see a purple door, then they might think that somebody is announcing it. And so to me, I'm like, I'm not going to give you any kind of hint of anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, when they come in after everything's done, because half the house is done and everything's purple and gray and black, they're just going to be all, oh, you're just weird.
Yeah, okay. Anthony won't let me paint the door red.
No,
or purple. No, see, it has to, like,
if I could ask culture, since red is a good luck color, I would think he would.
He's a dud. He's a stick in the mud. like it has to be.
My friend
like,
painted black.
Oh,
all right,
yes, I knew that.
Or just like a natural, like rustic brown.
Because of Amazon pictures. When they tell me your package
from Amazon.
Amazon has let me know that your front door is red, is black.
Wow, that's kind of intrusive.
Right. Oh, yes. I think Fearless is on the hashtag purple squad. She's all about the purple.
Oh yeah. Oh for sure. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to find that color, but it is a discontinued color. I'm very sad because I even pulled up a steel shot and I was like, I like this color. I want this color. They're like, oh, that color we can't find.
I'm sure you can like mix it, have them mix it to produce
that color. Yeah, like just white. Just add white into purple. I like black and white. Black, white, and gray are my colors.
Yeah, I think you went to a bad paint place. Because if they don't know how to mix paint, then
Yeah, because I'm sure I can mix that color, and I don't know nothing about paint.
Right? I think they just...
Maybe you need to go back and ask them, is it because you're superstitious? Is there something that we're like says that you can't mix colors?
Right.
You just don't know your color palette. Yes, because I saw, like, I wanted to get that color for the living room, and they're like, that's a discontinued color. And I was like, I need that
color. Actually, this color is going to eventually go away. We're probably going to paint more of our walls either red or black.
Nice.
Up to match your kitchen?
Yes. Yes.
Yay! I loved when you did the kitchen.
Yeah.
See, I'm just painting the house colors to my paint cut scheme kind of has a superstitious undertone to it, like the black to repel negativity and stuff like that.
But again, some of that is really, is it superstition or is it your practice and your belief system?
It's both.
Well, and exactly, and that kind of, I mean, I hate to beat a dead horse, but that's kind of my point. And, you know, it's a reminder is that, you know, once you are of this life, you know.
Everything has a purpose.
Yeah, understand the purposes of your superstitions. Yeah. And infuse those purposes and make it have purpose.
Exactly.
This is how we roll. We literally incorporate everything into our lives now.
Exactly.
Everything's got a purpose.
Well, we are coming close to the top of the hour. I don't know if we have anything else, unless we have anything else in the comment section, or else you guys want to think of anything?
I'm personally tapped out.
Tapped out?
Let's see. Yeah. I keep messing up her name. Kali? What do you call it?
You're messing up the name Holly?
No. Kali. Kaylee. K-A-A-L-I.
Oh, Kali. Uh-huh.
Yeah. She said that if you step on a spider, it'll rain. I've heard that one.
Oh, I've heard that one. Like, I heard it differently. Like, stepping on a spider creates chaos in the universe, which I guess that can be interpreted to storm.
Yeah.
Storm can be chaotic. So, yeah, like, I never step on spiders in my house because I just feel bad for them, too. If I find them all already dead, I put them in a little box I have so I can use them for later purpose. But like, yeah. If they're alive, then like, I'll capture them in a napkin and I'll throw them out outside.
Yeah, I've heard that one. And then I've heard if a spider runs up on you, that it's an ancestor coming to greet you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
I love that. Yeah. See, I love spiders. I just, you know... If any of you ever come over to my house, you're going to think that I just don't like to clean it. No, I just, you know, I like it when I see a spider web in my house.
See,
I feel very, very safe.
I don't take the spider webs off my like offering altar area either. Like, that's the one spot in the house that does not get dusted all the time because I feel they need to stay there. Everywhere else, that's like, dusted except
because like spiders are the weavers of fate.
Yes, they are. So like, that's the one spot it doesn't get dusted all the time. So when you walk in, you're gonna see spider webs there. So sorry,
so everybody, don't mess with your spiders.
No, don't mess with your spiders. Like them,
we're pro spiders.
If they die and you like them, send them to us.
Yes, yes.
we're pro spider.
We are pro spider.
I mean, I already got my coworker sending me snake skin, so I think I have an ending supply now. She's like, every time I see one, I'm just gonna have my husband pack it up and ship it to you. I'm like, I'm good with that. I'm so good with that.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
I just get them from Jim's cousin who has a snake. Anytime she sheds, that's the only time I get it.
Yeah, I do have a box of snake skin that like I buy from online, but then I have like my full snakes that are in the freezer.
That's awesome.
Other than that, there's so many can't even cover all the superstitions.
I know.
So many.
If you watch this back after we stop our live, if you think of a superstition that we didn't mention, which there is a 95% chance that we didn't because there are so many, feel free to share in the comments below.
Yes. Because I'm sure there's some that we haven't even heard.
Right.
Absolutely.
Watch, I guess some will probably even come to mind as soon as we end.
Right.
Of course. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us. If you're new, don't forget to check out our other videos, and if you like what you see, then make sure you give us a like. Definitely subscribe. Pass it on. Share the love.
Yes. We love being shared.
Yes. So then on that note, of course, we'll have videos dropping throughout the week in between our podcast episodes. Otherwise, before we go, are you going to be having your morning rants anytime soon, Miss Mountain Gypsy?
I need to check with Hestia if she's ready to come back to that. If not,
I will be willing to do one or two. So
cool beans. Sounds good. So we'll let you know, Matt. We'll definitely drop the announcement for that.
All righty. Well, on that note, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Dun, dun, dun.